Good morning, good morning, good morning, listening audience. You know what time it is. It is 0900 hours. It's Sunday morning, Jay Rice Show. You know the show, you know the platform. The millions of listeners that's out there listening this morning, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that's listening. Thank you for all that will call in. Thank you for the guests that's going to be a part of the show. This is an informative hour. This is what we do. We talk social civics. Nothing is off the table on Sunday morning from 9 to 10. We try to get it in. So you're welcome to the show. Today is always a special day. Remember, you know the number, 843-308-9564 is the number to call in. 843-308-9564 is the number to call in. Joe was in the controls, managing and holding things down. Joe is my first line of defense. When you call in to get to me this morning, say hello to him and try to be nice to Joe. Okay, I want to make sure I can't help but mention that this morning is a very special morning for me and the Jay Rice Show, special for you because you get a chance to hear a voice that's in the studio with me this morning, none other than a good friend of mine, a Wando High School graduate. You know, I've always said all along that there were Wando High School and then there were others. So in the studio with me this morning, none other than Wallace Washington from the 7 Mile community and Wando High School graduate. Good morning, Wallace. Thank you for being there with me this morning.
Good morning, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Y'all heard Wallace on the show before call in and interject. In fact, Wallace was in the dog park, I think, last week. In Tampa. So he did tell me that he wasn't walking a poodle. He was walking a...
Yeah, it's an Australian Shepherd Border Collie mix. She's about 50 pounds, so no tiny dogs for me.
Okay, then. All right, good. So we wanted to clear that up early on. But thank you all so much for being on the show this morning. I want to always give a shout-out to David Mack from 1 to 2 on Saturdays. Listen to that show. And then, of course, you know, the Jay Rice Show ain't even possible without his sponsors. That's why Wallace is here today, because Wallace is a potential sponsor. Because he see the value in the Jay Rice Show and know that I'm trying to put out a platform that's good for all mankind, good for everybody, and everybody's invited to be a part of this show. Nobody is excluded, and if you think you're excluded, then that's just because you decide you want to be excluded. Everybody's entitled to be a part of this show, call in, listen in, be informed. Ask You Paint and Body Shop, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Netta and Ed, I know y'all listen to the show, you do every Sunday, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters Check Cashing, Low Country Cafe, and coming soon, a sponsor near you.
Yes, we definitely want to become a sponsor. We've been listening from the very beginning, and as you mentioned earlier, I call in often whenever I get a moment to do so. But we'd like to be a sponsor. We'd like to support what you're doing and make sure it's able to continue. So the church that I attend here, mm-hmm. the Tree of Life Ministries over on Rivers Avenue, we've mentioned them in the past. We'd like to become a full-time sponsor of your show.
Outstanding. Y'all listening. The millions of listeners are listening to the Jay Rice Show this morning. This is what's happening. We're not only we're building bridges, we're closing gaps, and we're growing. The Jay Rice Show is also on WJNI's website under podcast. So you can click on the WJNI's website, go under podcast, and you'd see the Jay Rice Show. Again, this information is worthy enough that it's being shared multiple times, so you can listen. You can listen whenever you get a break, whenever you're riding in the car. Listen to the Jay Rice Show. Get an understanding of the platform, what we're talking about. And again, it's worthy enough. And Wallace, I want to thank you and the Tree of Life for looking at the Jay Rice Show and being a part of this for me, man.
Well, we've been listening for a long time. In fact, I just found out last Sunday after my call in where my call dropped. And for everybody out there, I'm fine. My call just dropped. My dog is fine. But one of our longtime members at Tree of Life, Sandra Singleton, is a longtime listener of your show as well. And I did not know that until last Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, it's just amazing, man. When, you know, even like yesterday, I was out and a gentleman, the first thing he said when he saw me, he was like, man, I listen to your show every Sunday morning. I'm like, that's very good. That's very good. Another older guy, Mr. John Henry Smalls, that I grew up in Mount Pleasant in the old village, was a writer for the Chronicle. He saw me yesterday evening. He's like, I listen to your show every Sunday. I'm like, Mr. Smalls, I'm going to get you on because yes. I know you got a story, and I want to make sure I do that. But jumping right in, you know, we I'd be remiss if I try to have a show without talking about the top story in the world, and that is COVID. Big, bad COVID. COVID is changing lives. It's altering our events and how we live. But I'll get back to that. But I want to ask you a question about something that's pretty important to and what happened this week. But before I do that, Wallace, let's talk about you and what you do, and so the listeners can understand who you are. And so when the Jay Rice Show comes on one of these Sunday mornings, and you hear that theme song, that Kirk Franklin song, a song that if I could sing, I would talk it. But when you hear that song come on, and then all of a sudden there's a different voice, don't you change the dial? Because it could be Wallace Washington, right? That's a future. This is going to happen in the future. Or you could be listening, and you hear that theme song, and then you hear Alberta Flowers and Benny Flowers. Don't tell them, but I'm asking them to be a guest. They don't know that yet, but I'm just putting it out there right now. So somebody, if you're listening, call Manny or Alberta Flowers. Y'all have heard them in the studio with me before. And say, I didn't know you were going to be a guest. Well, yeah, they're going to be a guest. And I think they've agreed without even knowing they've agreed. So, in the future, when I'm away from the studio and you don't hear my voice, I'm out doing my business, and it ain't none of your business. But, somebody will be in here filling in for me. So, Wallace, let's talk about what you do, sure, man. And,
well, those are big shoes to fill, but I'll do my best to try in your absence. Whenever you need me here, I'll be here for you. But as you mentioned, I grew up over in Mount Pleasant, mm-hmm, 7 Mile community, attended Wando High School. After Wando, I went to the University of South Carolina, where I graduated a long, long time ago.
Right.
And then moved to Atlanta, went to law school. Okay. So I lived in Atlanta for a long time, practiced law there. Moved to Houston, Texas, and practiced there for a minute with Enron. We older folks may remember Enron from the big accounting scandals and the collapse of a huge corporation.
Yeah.
Well, I was there in those last days when Enron went belly up. I lived in Houston for a long time, but now I live in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Been working for a telecommunications company for the last 14 or 15 years and in the commercial acquisitions department. Okay. So I'm an attorney by trade and took a bit of an early retirement last November, so now I'm getting back to my roots. I'm able to spend more time here at home, help you in the Wright Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I've been involved with other nonprofits here in the area, but you asked me a couple of years ago to become a member of the board of the African American Settlement Communities Historic Commission, which I've been actively involved in, and it's been a pleasure being a part of that. We're doing some very positive things, which I'm sure your audience is well aware of. My wife, Tammy, and I, like I said, we live in Tampa, but the church I mentioned that's going to be a sponsor was founded by my sister, the late Apostle Lane W. Green. Mm-hmm. She went to be with the Lord about 3 years ago. But Tammy and I, we've been involved in churches in Tampa, but we felt the need to do something, to plant something back here, because this is where our heart is. We still have a home in Mount Pleasant. We have a lot of family and friends in this area. So we felt there was a need for us to be here and be a part of this. And Tammy's agreed to be one of the ministers at the church again, so she's starting to preach there again. And we've invited folks in the past, and invitation's always out. We do things a little bit different, but we still want to be true to biblical principles. And we feel, even here in COVID, where people can't come together as a group, we feel, though, that there's a special need for that collective meeting, that collective time to be together.
Absolutely.
And if we've learned nothing else from COVID, it's that being alone is not a great thing all the time. You
Absolutely.
Need people. So that's my five-minute spiel. And like I said, I'll be happy to fill in whenever you need me here. This is a place that's special and dear and near to my heart, right, and I want to still be an active part of it.
Wallace, I'll tell you, man, I want to really sincerely thank you, man, for, because, of course, you're a little older than I am, right?
And
you grew up you grew up with my older brothers.
Yes, I did.
But, in fact, I know the name Wallace. I didn't know you because we were, that little age difference.
Yes.
But coming back home in the last 8 years, man, and spending the time with you and Tammy and, getting involved in the things that you've been involved in and you being involved in, and as you said, some of the things I've been involved in, it's been a pure pleasure, man. And not only has been a pleasure, some straight brotherly love.
Yes.
And not only brotherly love, but, the makeup of Mount Pleasant. Let me talk about the makeup of Mount Pleasant. Wallace has my cousin, Wallace's daughter is my cousin.
Yes, Kennedy.
Kennedy. So yes. Not only is Wallace... on the board with me, our legal advisor for the African American Settlement Commission. Went to high school, but also he's family because that's just how we do in Mount Pleasant.
Yes, it is.
You could be anybody's cousin. That's why I got away from here, man. I didn't want to marry my cousin. So, 29 years away, I was like, I ain't going to marry my cousin. I'm going to get away from home. But anyway, man, it really is a pleasure having you in, man. And the audience, y'all, hear the voice. You're going to hear it again. Afghanistan, the rise and the fall. The rise of the Taliban. The Taliban, they've always been there. I personally believe that we trained some of them, and during that 20 years that we were in that country, let's be clear, they abandoned their own country, and they did not fight to save it from the Taliban coming back in and taking over it. So 20 years later, 20 years after being there, I don't understand what level of training they missed. Because here in the United States, you go to basic training for 3 months. When you leave basic training 3 months later, you're combat ready and fit the fight, and you think you can take on the world. There's no question about that. That's 3 months. So now for 20 years, we spent in Afghanistan. And, you know, as a part of a role I served in the military as observer controller, you know, I at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, and other military bases, I watched soldiers come there to evaluate them prior to being deployed. And in a six-month period, and these a lot of times they were reservists or, you know, people that did not have active duty status, but they would come there for training, and we'd evaluate them for 6 months, and 6 months later, they're being deployed to Afghanistan. 6 months later, and they're ready to go and serve. So 20 years later, I'm not sure how those Afghan soldiers that were being trained by Americans were not ready to control their own country. And just for the record, our reasoning for being in Afghanistan is 9/11 hijackers that did that terrorist act on that September 11th day. Let's talk about those 9/11 hijackers. Because we went to Afghanistan. Now, we know bin Laden. There was some issue about bin Laden possibly being there. But of the 15 hijackers, of the hijackers, 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia, 2 were from the United Arab Emirates, 1 was from Lebanon, and 1 was from Egypt.
Yeah.
Did you hear Afghanistan anywhere in there?
Nowhere in there at all.
Okay. So We spent 20 years in Afghanistan. Not one of the terrorists was from Afghanistan.
Not one. I think the important part that statement you just made was the fact that we've been training their soldiers for 20 years, and they fall within days. It makes absolutely no sense. We can't fight for them forever.
Absolutely. Not only do they fall for days, but I you know, Joe, you know, y'all know Joe is very quiet. Y'all don't even know Joe's in the studio whenever he's here. But I asked Joe, I said, Joe, what do you think about that desperate act of those folks, those Afghanistan men that we were training on the wings of planes trying to get out of that country? And what TV show did they see where doing something like that would be successful? Joe, would you do it, Joe?
Well, physics wouldn't allow anyone to do that. But here's the thing. Desperation will make you do desperate things.
Definitely, Joe, but did they even, you know, that desperation has got to be one that we have to be proud to be an American here, because I don't think there's anyone that that saw what they did and believed that it would be successful. I have any success in doing it. But as Joe said, that's a desperate act. You know, we all witnessed what these men that were willing to die to get to America. So it's amazing. What we see and what we witness via cell phones and TV and the internet now, you know, it's a whole different world, you know. And if you watch those men, you realize that to what length they were willing to go to come to America. So with that being said, do you not feel privileged to be in America? And are you not proud to be an American after witnessing what you saw? And I'm going to jump right in. I got my guests on the line, And I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to get a chance to get my guests on and talk about the important issues of the day. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning. How are you, Jay?
Good morning. On the show with me is Erica Taylor, Charleston County School Board, everything. You're doing an amazing job, Erica. I want to thank you for being on with me, calling in the show, taking time out of your busy schedule to be on. You're doing some amazing things, and I want to tell you, Erica, right off the top, before we go any further with the million of listeners on the Jay Wright Show, that Jay Wright, his sponsors, thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for waking up every morning and looking at the health and welfare of our children. I think we're comfortable that we got a strong advocate in you. And I want to thank you on behalf of Jay Wright and the million listeners and the sponsors. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Jay Wright. I appreciate it. But you know, I dare not take all the credit. We have an amazing cadre of teachers, our board, Dr. Postlewaite, our superintendent. They're right with me, wanting to make sure not only that our children receive the very best education that they can, but that they're safe.
Right.
So, especially during these times. So, thanks.
Yes, well, you know, I know, you know, you have folks thank you all the time, but it's always great to have an opportunity to thank you, you know, for what you're doing, and trust me, you're truly appreciated, whether you realize it or not, and whether people tell you enough, but I think we need to tell you more. So let's jump right in, because this is another school year, things are evolving, things are changing every day. I know they are. What will this school, this year, COVID-19 protocol look like?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, our board recently voted to instruct our staff to implement a mask requirement for all students, our staff, and visitors inside our school buildings at least until October 15th. And, you know, Jay, that was done in an effort to help slow the spread of COVID. You know, we have to balance, you know, health and safety protocols, but at the end of the day, we want all of our students in school every day receiving the education that they deserve. So masks are required in all parts of our buildings and on school buses, but also in addition to masks, we also are doing a number of other things to include social distancing and proper spacing in our classrooms. We also, of course, enhance and increase our campus classroom sanitation. We limit visitors to our schools, not because we don't want our visitors and partners in our schools, but we want to just make sure that we can keep our students and staff inside the school building safe. We, in terms of branding, all through every building, we're encouraging hand washing, social distancing, and, of course, the use of proper sanitation. We've upgraded our air filtration equipment. We have water bottle filling stations. And so when you think about that, not the traditional water fountain, they're actual stations that are affixed to the wall, and we've provided water bottles for all of our students. Now, of course, you know, students want to bring their own water bottles, and that's fine, but if they don't have one, we'll provide a water bottle for them. We have hand sanitizer dispensers throughout the schools in every classroom, several in every classroom, and of course, we are in constant contact with our medical experts. We are doing all that we can to help keep our students and staff safe.
That's big and it's very important, Erica. And we trust that that you have the kids, you know, the utmost of the health and welfare of our kids. And we thank you because you know this COVID experience is really changing things as we know it. And you know. Will virtual instruction be available to students and who do not return to the classroom? Will it be available?
So we have a partnership with Low Country Virtual. It's a consortium of other school districts in the state, and there's a virtual program for K-8 students. And so parents who let us know that they were not who wanted a virtual option this year, we've provided that for them. And so at this point, students, all students have, who desire virtual instruction have the opportunity for that. So, you know, school started on Wednesday. There still are maybe one or two students who are transitioning, but for the most part, we have settled on virtual instruction. So we're excited to be able to honor the wishes and of parents who want that educational model.
Okay, good. You know, Erica, you know, I know that the quarantine procedure will look a little different this year, you know, with so many already having haven't had the vaccine, but there's students that are not able to have the vaccine because they're not eligible yet. What will the procedure be in that case when you look at, you know, the teachers that are vaccinated and the kids that cannot be vaccinated? What are you already experiencing in that area?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Jay, if you let me take an opportunity to give kudos to our Department of Nursing. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful nurses, and we have actually several who all they do is work with contact tracing. And when we find out that there is a potential case in a classroom, they then start finding out who the child or student was next to, who the close contacts were, or who has to quarantine, who doesn't have to quarantine. It's a massive undertaking because there are direct phone calls and questions, and sometimes they have to call and ask questions again just to make sure that they're able to contact everyone who may have been, who may be impacted by this. So they are doing a massive amount of work. And so as it relates to students, especially students who have not been vaccinated, we are, if they have to quarantine, we are, because they are either positive or close contact, we are in contact with them consistently throughout the time that their quarantine period. I could share that we asked all of our principals to ensure that all students were able to have a device. From Wednesday to Friday, they were being issued. So every student, and there may be one or two that haven't, but every student in Charleston County School District went home by the end of Friday with a device in the instance that they have to stay home if they've been deemed a close contact and have to quarantine so that they can continue with their education, although they're not physically in the classroom setting. And then, of course, for staff, if they have to quarantine and they are able to work remotely, meaning that they're not sick, they are close contact, they have to quarantine, but they can still do their work, they're able to do that. And if they're unable to do their work, we're providing up to 80 hours of district-provided leave, mm-hmm. so they aren't penalized because they're not at work.
Right. Well, now that's. Did you all have to? Did you have to beef up your nursing staff given the current situation? Is that something that had to happen as well?
We did last year. We added five additional nurses who this is all they do. I say 24/7. They're doing a heroic job. You can imagine you may get a call. A principal may get a call from a parent who says it's 9:00 at night. I just took my child to the doctor and they're COVID positive. Our nurses get that information. They find out who the child was in close contact with, whose classroom the child is in, and they do that work so that any of the close contacts aren't coming to school the very next day. So I don't know how they do it, but they do a fantastic job. And they're keeping those of us who haven't been impacted safe, and we appreciate it.
And, you know, and just to make sure I get it in there, because I'm sure parents and the general public want to know, is there a way for parents and the general public to track the number of COVID positive cases within the district?
Absolutely. If you go to the homepage, let me go back. Last year, we implemented a dashboard. So if you go to the homepage of the website, www.ccsd.com, and there is a safe return tab, you click that tab and up pops a dashboard. On the dashboard, it lists the week from Sunday through Saturday, and it also lists every school, and it lists the days of the week. And so you can go pick a school, whatever school you want to pick, and you can go through and see if there were any COVID positives in that school for the week.
Good, good.
Well, it's updated typically by 6 o'clock every afternoon.
Outstanding. Thank you again for the fabulous work that's being done at CCSD as it relates to our kids in school. I have a guest in the studio with me, and he had a question for you. And Wallace, you had a question for Charleston County School Board Chief of Staff, Erica Taylor?
I do. I know that COVID's been center in front for a lot of people, but we also wanted to ask what was new and exciting this year. I've heard something about a new center opening west of the Ashley.
Yes, sir. So we are excited to say that in addition to making sure that our students and staff and parents are safe during this time, we are also doing some phenomenal things in the district. So, yes, our third Center for Advanced Studies in West Ashley opened. It's a $42.7 million project. It's over 100,000 square feet, and it serves the students in West Ashley and Baptist Hill and in St. John's High School. And so I'll just tell you just some of the programs that the center offers include cybersecurity, mechatronics, automotive and welding technology, sports medicine. You would appreciate this, Jay, media technology.
Whoa, health and I'll be there.
Technology.
They're training your replacement, Jay.
So I tell you, and the wonderful thing about this is we have three of these centers all across the district. And so every high school student in Charleston County has access to career courses that when they graduate Charleston County School District, they can go straight into a job or they can go to college with, you know, course credit. And so in addition to the West Ashley Center, we also have a center in Mount Pleasant. It's called the East Cooper Center for Advanced Studies. And then there's also a center in North Charleston, and the name of that is the Cooper River Center for Advanced Studies. So this is our third center, and we're excited about it. And in addition to this, just some facility upgrades, we upgraded Mitchell Elementary School. The students left for a year. They were they learned in a swing space, and then they came back to Mitchell. It's a beautiful facility. We also had some upgrades to this career and technology wing at the Baptist Hill High School, and then there's some work going on at Stony Field, Burke High School plays football. So, and of course, other sports. So we're 3 days in, Jay, but it's been wonderful. It's exciting. I'm always excited for the beginning of school, and we've heard great things from our teachers and our leaders and parents excited to get their children back in school.
Erica, again, that's amazing because in spite of, and Wallace, that was a big question because, you know, we concentrate so much sometimes on, you know, what's going on without even knowing some of the other integral parts of the positive that's being done. And so you highlighted that, Erica, and I'll be glad to grab me one of them interns out of that medical, out of that media technology and get them in the studio with me and I'll come to them. So I'm looking forward to that, and you can count on me. To be a part
of
that.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Jay. I appreciate it.
And not to mention at all, you know, again, you know, not every kid, and obviously you in the district knows that, not every kid is bound for college or our military material, you know. So if we start now, I've always advocated for all my years and trying to be a big voice, at least being a voice for reason, I've always advocated for having those centers where kids are getting trade in high school, because that was a big deal when Wando was beating Burke on Stony Field way back in the days that we had, welding and
auto mechanics
and all those things at Wando High School. And it was good and a lot of fun. I learned to be a brick mason, and I haven't laid not one brick since high school, but I had a lot of fun learning how to do it. And then I had a really good instructor, Mr. Buzzy. I think, I don't know if Mr. Buzzy was still living, but he was funny, and we had a lot of fun doing that. And so, Eric, I want to really thank you. And you continue to do the great work that you're doing, because we're watching and we're paying attention, from behind the scenes. But we are watching, and we're grateful for you. And is there anything you have imparting this morning before you go on and enjoy your day? And I do want to tell you, you know my listeners, right? They're sitting around with a pen in their hand and They got their coffee in, their tea, and their hot chocolate and their mimosa with their legs crossed. And they're listening to Eric Taylor, you know, bring us valuable, valuable, valuable informative information about Charleston County School District. So you know, I'm hoping you're relaxed, and this is a relaxed interview for you, which will ultimately get you back on again and or even in the studio one day.
I'd love to do that.
Consider it done. Consider it done. I just wrote it down. I'm going to pencil you in for a date real soon. But is there anything you'd like to share with us in parting before you go out and enjoy the rest of your day?
I do, Jay. I just would like to share that I'd like all of your listeners to just keep our we use frontline with respect. Keep our teachers, keep our principals, keep our administration, keep our superintendent, keep our board in your thoughts and in your prayers as we go through the next through the school year. Our students deserve the best that we can provide to them, and it's only through their strength that that they're going to be able to receive it. So I ask you to do that. And then also, and this is, if I may, this is I don't know the young woman, but there's an educator in another school district that I have now seen 7 of my Facebook contacts mm-hmm. ask for prayer for her.
Okay.
So I would just like to offer their offer thoughts and prayers. She's an AP in another school district, but there are thoughts and prayers being asked for her this morning. And so I just like to impart that those who are listening do the same. She's an assistant principal. She's not in Charleston County, in Dorchester too, and we'd like to just keep her lifted. So I thank you for allowing me that opportunity, Jay.
Erica Taylor, thank you so much, ma'am. You enjoy the rest of your day. And you guys, you heard Erica. Keep her lifted up. She doesn't have to be connected to Erica and Charleston County School District for Erica to consider her somebody that she wants to add to a prayer list. So this is a gospel station. And we know there's some prayer warriors attached to this
station.
Absolutely. So thank you, Erica, for that. And we'll keep her lifted up. And we'll also keep you lifted up as well. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Jay. Have a good day.
All right, you do the same.
Okay, bye-bye.
Y'all heard Erica Taylor. We are proud of her. She is Chief of Staff for Charleston County School District, and it's always a pleasure for me to get on Sunday morning and bring, again, valuable people to the show that are doing great things and people that you want to hear from. I know you want to hear my voice, you know, but so it's better that I bring somebody on that, you know, that's a subject matter expert and a feel. And so, you know, we got the next few minutes. 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. We got another guest that's going to be calling up in about 12, 13 minutes or so, talking about a library and collecting books over in Africa. Very excited. I'm really happy, and I'm ready to hear what Joe Palmer and them are doing. But, you know, when I look at this big bad COVID, the question I want to ask you, the listening audience, and during this time while we wait for the guests, do you have a contingency plan, a strong strategy for how to maneuver in this public health war? I mean, do you have a plan? Do you have a strategic plan? Because everything, every entity is now creating a strategic plan for strategy for COVID, which is, as I indicate, a public health war. You know, and it's also very shameful that these little small conflicts that are here and there, you know, it's amazing because it's like, you know, it's like everybody has this little mission and creating these little small, tiny conflicts here and there. And the conflicts are around mask versus unmask. Mandates versus no mandates, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. You know, it is causing violence in America. And
literally.
It is literally causing violence in America. And so I want your opinion about that. You know, we got violence right here on American soil. And how bad will it get? Does anybody have any idea thoughts about how these conflicts could get worse over time? Or they can get better. And if you got a strategy on how, you know, I'd like to hear from you. 843-308-9564 is the number. The question on the table is, given these little small conflicts, how do we not appear to be at war on American soil? And is that, you know, is that going to help us, Wallace? And, you know, the thing that's funny about that is it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you wear a mask or not wear a mask. It's not going to, that hadn't changed the price of meat. The price of meat is going up.
Yes, it is, including the cost of a whole lot of other household items. Lumber, as we know, to try to construct a new place has increased significantly.
So you know, when we look at, so when we look at this whole idea about vax and unvaccinated, all of that really does not matter because the cost of living in society is changing. I mean, it is changing as we know it, and it will take, I guess, in your opinion, 843-308-9564 is the number. In your opinion, how long will it take for us to recover? And what is the recovery strategy?
Right. What is the way forward? Well, you know, in most public health situations or catastrophes, you take a hurricane or an earthquake, normally people work together toward a common goal. Mm-hmm. We have a common interest and work together collectively. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we've decided to use COVID as a political football. And people have taken positions that are even against their own health or their own best interests because of political ideology. That's the issue we're having here. We feel as though this is someone else's problem and it doesn't come to our door. Mm. And the only way we're going to be able to move forward collectively is if we get our leaders, not just our elected leaders, our religious leaders, our civil rights leaders, everybody need to come together and say, listen, we need one collective plan to make this work. Is that going to happen? How long will that take? You and I have no idea.
Right. Well, you know, it is, we do have to have a strategy. You know, it was a radio personality that called COVID a hoax. Well, he's passed away.
Exactly.
So what do we do? Society, we look at the cost of living. Everything is changing. I got a caller. I'm going to jump right into that caller because everybody wants to get in on the Jay Rice Show. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show with Jay Rice and Wallace in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Cousin Johnny.
Cousin M. Y'all know her every week. Cousin M chimes in. She makes sure from way up there in the top of North Carolina, she's listening to the Jay Rice Show. How are you this morning, Cousin M?
I'm doing fine, Cousin Johnny. How are you?
I'm well. What's on your mind this morning, Cousin Elle?
Okay. I can't understand the situation that's going on with the people flying on the airplane and fighting, having to be taped down. And, you know, can you touch on that a little bit?
That's a good point. I haven't talked about that, but I think that's kind of funny, to be quite honest. God damn, you know me. I like a little humor. And just to think that you could be duct taped to a seat on an airplane, I just never thought that would be possible. But I am telling you,
right, that
you know, I'm not inhumane, but when I saw it, I just said, wow, I kind of think that's funny. Yeah. And I also kind of thought it was pretty cool because if you're going to be disruptive, what better way to make sure you're not disruptive than to duct tape you to a seat? I never, all my military career, I've never thought about the use of duct tape till
in
now.
That manner. In that manner.
Yeah, I know. It is funny.
It is funny. But Cousin M, you know, the thing I think what has kind of set that in motion, and the fact that you ask about it, right, is very important because, you know, if it's happening here, anywhere around the world, the Jay Rice Show, we talk about it. But I think is funny about that and what came as a result of that is have you noticed where some of the airlines are now saying they're going to stop serving alcohol? But what I don't know.
He was drunk.
Right. What I don't know is how do you can't stop the brewery that's in the airport from selling alcohol. So, you know, now I just think what happens is people just get far more loaded before they get on the plane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. But, you know, he was very unruly. So that's why they had to do that, you know, because you can't have somebody on the plane acting the way he acted. You know, That's not good.
And did, I mean, correct, I mean, I don't know, but did that guy, the one that duct taped him, was am I right to hear that? I think he lost his job or something?
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Because I haven't, you know, kept up with it.
Okay, okay.
You know, all I know is about the duct tape situation.
Oh, yeah.
And he needed to be taped.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So he couldn't harm, you know, innocent bystanders, you know.
Cousin M, I want to thank you. And that's the value of the J. Rice Show. It's not about whether I talk about it. It's about if you find it important. And I might forget. I may have forgotten to talk about it. So thank you, Cousin M, for calling in, chiming
in.
You're
welcome.
Always listening in. You tell your husband, I said, hold it down. And always good to see him as well. And you both take care.
Yes.
And I know we'll talk, but I also know we'll talk next Sunday, hopefully.
Oh, of course. Definitely.
There you go. Cousin M, take care. And Cousin M, I do want you to know that I got listeners that ask about you here.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I feel like a celebrity.
Thank you so much, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, you too, okay? And I'll talk with you later on.
All right, good. Thank you, Em.
Okay.
All right.
Bye now.
All right, bye. That's Cousin Em. She chimes in. You know, you should do the same. 843-308-9564 is the number. 843-308-9564 is the number. I got a text from Jairus Place, and they wanted to know how much money did the president of Afghanistan leave? How much American dollars did he load up on his plane before he left Afghanistan and left his country high and dry? And so not only does Jairus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina sponsor, they have questions. They text their questions in. So if you are a listener and you know how much money he got, then please call up the J. Rice Show and let us know.
Well, we know they left billions of dollars of equipment over there, which is, in my opinion, maybe even worse, the military equipment that we left over there that the Afghanistan military just walked away from.
You know, Wallace, that's worth mentioning, man. And again, what a great way to spend our tax dollars. Huh?
Exactly.
Man, we're struggling right here in America, man. And then we think about something such as that. My first thought is, man, our tax dollars.
Yes. You know, exactly.
That's just, you know, kind of my thinking, right? Well, I want you to know that starting next Sunday, through the November elections, I will have a couple candidates on the show every week. Every week there'll be somebody on this show. At least I've reached out. And if they don't get on the show, then there's a great possibility they won't get elected. But you got to get on the J. Rice Show if you want to get elected, because the listeners want to hear who you are. They want to know what your platform is. So starting next week, there'll be a candidate on the show every week up to November. At least there will be an attempt to get them on. Maybe one or two, you know, so you can kind of get a chance to hear from them. And, you know, my good friend Carl Ritchie is running for council in Mount Pleasant. I got to get him on. And I spoke with the mayor, Haney, in Mount Pleasant, and he's going to get on next week, in fact. So look forward to a great, fun election season and get to know your candidate. So,
are you able, what about yourself, Jay? I understand that you'll be running for office over at Mount Pleasant as well.
Well, you know, Wallace, thank you, man. I didn't want to mention that, you know, and you know, so yes, I am on the ballot. So
I'll certainly be supporting you. And before I leave, make sure I write a check to in your for your campaign.
My campaign started right here this morning, right now.
I'm with you.
So thank you, Wallace, man. Thank you so much. And we got our guest is going to call in here in just a few minutes. But one thing I do want to mention is that Haiti, why do they regularly face such crisis? And you know, even when they attempt to swim or boat here in America, they round them up and send them on back.
Yes, they do.
Man, I mean, you know, I don't know, some of the listeners of really religious folks, does God got a problem with Haiti or something?
It's a very good question, Jay. You know, several years ago, I wanted to teach my daughter a little bit how great life was here in the States. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do a mission trip to Haiti. But my wife and my daughter both said, no, we're not going there. We've heard about some of the practices. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe that has a little bit to do with it, you know, because I don't think their traditional religion over there is a Christian-based religion. It's a lot of other things. which we may not want to get into on the radio show, but
okay.
I don't know if that plays a part or not.
Well, you know, I don't know. God got something going on in Haiti, but, you know, and that's just Jay Wright. You know, I don't know everything, but I say things that others probably won't say or even be thinking,
but
right?
They're thinking it.
Yeah.
What's that song, Bad Luck? You got bad luck? Boy, they got some bad luck in Haiti.
God, come on. If you're a caller and you know God real close, you got a close relationship with him, ask him, you know, what's
pray
going on
Haiti.
With Haiti. You know,
Haiti.
Pray for Haiti. Got a caller on the line. I want to jump right into the caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show. We'll get that caller up here in just a few minutes. Joe will make sure it all happens. But anyway, in the meantime, yeah, we got to pray for Haiti. We just can't seem to understand how things just consistently continue to happen over there. And it's always, it's never, you know, never just a crisis. It's catastrophic. It's, you know, I mean,
yes.
How many people I think currently have, I think the numbers are close to 2,000 people that have died in this earthquake.
Yeah, the last count was upwards of 2,000. Still lots missing.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's get that caller up. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Joe Palmer.
Joe Palmer, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning, Joe. You are a legend, and I enjoy working with you. And we work together on several different projects, and you are all the wisdom, and I'm a little bit of energy. But I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. When I first came home in 2013, when I had the sports bar over there and in the Gullah Cuisine, and my good friend Ray Brown brought you to me early on, as soon as I came home, and introduced me to you and said, "This is a guy you need to know." And I didn't know how valuable that relationship would come, but I am glad to have had a chance to meet you and to learn about what you're doing, and I'm very proud of the work you're doing. So let's talk immediately about your organization, Joe, and what you're doing and the tremendous work that you're doing despite what we all are now publicly being made aware of with this International African American Museum that's coming to Charleston, to our shores, and what they're telling us, the inner workings between Africa and here. But the work you're doing and have been doing needs to be highlighted. I want everybody to know about it. Let's talk about it, Joe.
Yes. Good morning to the listeners, and to John Wright. Good morning to everyone. Joe Palmer is my name. My organization that I work with, a number of organizations, but the one that I'm primarily focused on now is YABA. That's a local Charleston group, you know, that have been working with Africa going back and forth. We've been going to Africa as a group. We've been going every year since 2008. And our first connection with the group from Charleston was Ghana. Okay, and so from that point we saw what was going on there, and we began to recognize some of the needs, the humanitarian needs of the people, local people. All right, I've been going to Africa since 1972.
Wow.
Ghana. My first trip to Africa was Ghana, 1979, I was in Liberia for my first time. 2018, me and a few others were back in Liberia. Initially, we thought about the book campaign that would be for Ghana, but Ghana became a little bit complicated, so we switched gear and saw the great need in Liberia. All right, Liberia had a civil war for 14 years. The Civil War went on in Liberia. I think it started in about 1990.
Okay.
And so the Civil War ended in about 2003. But we saw the great need for books for the school, because of the Civil War, there was great destruction in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, you know, we need to do something to help Liberia. All right? They said, well, why Liberia? Well, there's a historical base to this whole discussion with Liberia, okay? And remember, Liberia was formed as a country in 1847 by former ex-slaves from America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, Wait a minute. How come we don't know about that?
Right.
Mm. You're talking about a museum, but much of our history in Liberia is tied to Charleston and the diaspora. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Republic of Liberia was established as an independent nation off the coast of West Africa in 1847 by freedmen from the United States.
Wow.
The first set of freedmen from the U.S. settled in Liberia in an area called Sierra Leone. That's in West Africa. This is 1820.
Wow.
And after a hardship in Sierra Leone, they moved on to Liberia. Now, there are people by the name of Lot Carey, 1828, Daniel Coker. These were the first pioneers that went to Africa to establish a foundation and a base for Africans to leave America because of all the oppression that we were experiencing. And then by 1865, the oppression didn't stop, although we had the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. And so the early repatriates to Liberia, they came from all over the America. They came from the West Indies. They came from Barbados. They came from the Virgin Islands, Jamaica. They came from all parts of the U.S. By 1880, 1890, black people were leaving. Charleston Port, Savannah Port. They were coming from New York. They were coming from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, Ohio. They were coming from all over. And the people who left here and went to Liberia, they have names in Liberia like Greensville, South Carolina, Maryland County, Maryland, and many other names. And the first president of Liberia in 1847 was Joseph Jenkins Roberts, who was from Virginia.
Wow.
And remember, one of the last president of Liberia, William Talbot, by 1990, his grandfather was from Charleston. Mm. I'm just giving a little background to say Liberia. Why? The schools need books, and we need to get books there. We got about 3,000 to 4,000 books ready to go to Liberia, to the school, the public school system. And we are on this program today, John, asking for support to help us get those books to Liberia. So we just didn't start talking about Africa recently. We've been going to Africa. We've been connecting with Africa. And we have cousins and people all over Liberia from the diaspora, and we don't even know that they're there.
Yeah, you know, Joe, this is a big deal. So let's talk right now immediately. Where can people drop books off that are interested in donating books and our money? Where can they drop books off and or donate to this worthy cause? And I cannot thank you enough, Joe, for being a part of this. But where can they drop off books and where can they make donations?
I'm hoping we have a brother on the line by the name of Jeffrey Nicholson.
Jeffrey, you on the line with us as well?
I'm here.
Jeffrey, man.
Jeffrey Nicholson got a store on Remont Road. He's going to give you the details of where to drop off books, high school books, middle school books, elementary school books, and even a check.
There you go. Brother, thank you so much for being on this morning. Let's get to that valuable information now, and then let's get back to it again in just a few more minutes. Make sure they know what to do.
All right. Well, the name of our store is Central Station. We're located at 1418 Remount Road, and you're more than welcome to come in. You can either ask for myself, Uni, my sister Leticia, she's at the front desk, and the two of us, and we'd be able to let you know where you can bring your books in and be able to bring in any of the information or get any of the information that you need.
Outstanding. Say that address again, and what's the name of the store?
1418 Remount Road, and the name of the store is Central Station. It's a big red building. If you can't see the sign, it's a big red building that says We Buy Gold on the front. You can't miss that. It's a big red building that says We Buy Gold.
Outstanding, man. Well, listen, I want to thank you, man. So if you want to drop off books, you can go drop them off at that location. If you want to make a donation, you can drop it off at that location as well.
We also have a GoFundMe page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called Books to Liberia Public Schools. books to Liberia Public School.
And for anybody that, writes slow, the elderly that's, you know, take their time, Books for Public School Liberia.
Should that also be who the check should be written out to? Who should the checks and donation be written out to?
To check out to Joe Palmer.
Okay. Check should be made out to Joe. Joe, is there a phone number? Because, you know, the elderly people, they want to call first and check on you guys and make sure you know. So let's talk about them. I love my seniors. I like talking about them, too.
The phone number to call me is 843-808-0692. 843-808-0692.
Outstanding. And Joe, also, I got to mention that if you did not get that number, if you go to the Jay Rice Show Facebook page, you can, that number and there's the information to about this organization is listed there. So you can pull that information up and, make contact with the organization, reach out to Joe, get that donation. This is a very valuable but worthy cause. Joe, you know, I often say that we have this International African American Museum that's coming to our shores, but the work that you've been doing is extend beyond before there was even a thought of an International African American Museum coming to our shores, and people are embracing that. So it would be far just as easy and are to me easier to embrace what you're doing because you've been doing it for so long, and you've been doing it before the thought of a museum even was considered to come out of shores.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I saw the importance of that back in 1970. Connection with the Low Country, the Gullah Geechee Corridor, mm-hmm. and Africa. I saw that back since 1970. And so that's when we embarked on connecting to Africa. You cannot leave Africa out of the narrative, and you cannot leave Charleston out of the narrative. If anyone wants to send money to support this effort to a 501c3, I've got that already set up also. Call me, and I will give them that information.
Okay, Joe, give that number out again, please.
Yes, 843-808-0692.
And get to know Joe Palmer, because, again, this is work that he's been doing for a long time. The young brother that's on the line as well. If you can give that address on Remont Road again and your name, so people know where to go and they're welcome and feel at ease.
And John, we are in direct contact with our local group in Liberia, a former minister of culture and tourism in Liberia on the ground.
Outstanding.
We are well connected on the ground with a trusted group of people that I've known for the last 40 years.
Joe, that means everything, you know. And again, I know who you are. And, of course, Wallace Washington is in the studio with me. Wallace knows who you are.
Definitely.
And we know the value of what you bring to this, to not only to our organization that I'm a part of with you, but also to this endeavor and how passionate you are. I cannot thank you enough. And the world needs to know that we got an advocate such as you doing this work that we seem to always say, we need to do something. We need to do something. Well, you guys are doing something, and that has to be highlighted. So I want to thank you both. And again, you can find this information on the Jay Rice Show Facebook page, phone number, and get to Remont Road. Drop off some books because I'm going to do it as well. Thank you both. We're running up on the end of the show. I want to thank you both for being on with me, and great success in what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both. All right, well, listen, you get to Remont Road, get that number. The Jay Rice Show, it's almost time for us to sign off. I want to give that shout out, as I always do, to Ask You Paint and Body Shop. Get your cars fixed there. Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Jairus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen. I saw LJ yesterday at the Seafood Market eating fried crabs out there. Check Masters, Check Cashing, Low Country Cafe, and also the new sponsor, Wallace.
Thank you. Yes, Tree of Life Ministries on Rivers Avenue, 6337 Rivers.
All right, y'all know, get over there, Be a part of that service. Wallace and them are going to do some amazing things beyond just a regular service. So
definitely outside the four walls. That's where church really takes place.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for listening in. I enjoy you. Until next week, stay in peace.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way.